Thank you for tuning in this evening. This is the Democrat Forum 2014 being held at a fundraiser event down in Clay City at the Ambetz Building. It is October 10th. This event will be aired on WSKV on Tuesday following Tradio on Your Radio. Appreciate you tuning in tonight. Our moderator this evening is Ms. Josie Holland. She is the chairperson of the Democratic Party. Let's go ahead and join the event live right now and find out what these folks have to stand for and hopefully make you a more informed voter. Don't forget as well, you can listen to this event in its entirety at WSKVFM.com. Just click on the Informed Voter button.
Hello, everybody. Can you hear me now? Is everybody full of chili? Did you try all the chilies? Because there's some fantastic chilies here. And whoever, has everybody voted? Okay. We will have an auction at the end of this, and we have two coconut cream pies and a chocolate cream pie that is made by a very strong Democrat, so it has to be a fantastic pie. Juanita Crabtree. Let's give her a hand for the donation. All of the young people that helped in this, or the older people like me, would you all stand up? Tina Epperson, Drew Merriman, Darla Graham, Chad Birch, myself, Linville Bellamy, Dwayne Anderson, and Mona Gabbard. We always say, and Mona. But these are the people that has actually organized and put this together tonight, and they've done a fantastic job, and they've worked their hearts out for the Democrat Party. Could you give them a hand? I'm not going to talk very long because it's more important for you to hear from the people that are actually running for this office. But if you don't believe how important the Democrats are to you, you should think about the living wage, right to work. We don't need that in this county or this state, even though it sounds like it's great. That's just an absolute horrible thing for our unions. And we really need to push a straight Democrat ticket. I know some people don't like to do that, but it's really important this time. If we don't keep control of the House and we don't get control of the Senate, Kentucky is going to be held back for at least another 6 years. That's the very least it will be held back. This election is too important. I wish every one of you would pledge to ask somebody to go vote. Not somebody that you know is going to vote, like your wife or your husband or something like that. Somebody that you don't know if they vote or not. Ask them to go vote, and then ask them to vote for the Democrat ticket. It's extremely important this year. I'm going to go over a little bit about the ballots. Of course, Allison Grimes is running for Senate. If we don't get her in, we're set back 6 more years. Because Mitch McConnell really has done nothing for us. Yeah, we agree with that. Elizabeth, yeah. Elizabeth Jensen is running, and she's running for Congress. This woman has pushed everything that she can push for women's rights, for women's living wage, and she will help the state of Kentucky and the workers of Kentucky. If you can, please vote for her. Our state representative is Richard Henderson. He can't be here tonight, but we do have a spokesperson because he's at an auction. Can't be 15 million places at once. If you all could welcome Mr. Davis.
I don't know about that Mr. Davis part, but I'll tell you what, I've never seen a finer group of Democrats. And I'm really happy to be here. I've been working really hard on these campaigns, and the reason I'm in a suit is because I haven't been home to change. I've been to two events before now, one for a senator, one for a state representative. I've been out, and I was telling some people earlier, these hands haven't worked much because usually the heaviest thing I pick up is a pen anymore. But I've been driving post all week long. and putting these signs up for these Democrats, for Richard Henderson and R.J. Palmer. These guys have done a lot. Richard, specifically for this county, brought in water projects, road projects, and he's been here. It's something that Powell County's never had before as a state representative that has actually showed up, has actually been involved. And I ran against Richard in 2010, and we ran hard and fought hard. And, you know, when you do that and you're real Democrats, you make up, you stand up with Democrats, and we stand together. And we vote together, and we'll win together. I've told the Democrats over in Montgomery County, because I've been trying to pull a lot of these county races together, and what I've told them all is, if you guys stand together, we'll win together. But once you start drifting apart and you start dancing with the other side, that's when we all lose. So don't do that. What I'm going to ask you to do, stay with Richard. And a lot of people have had differences with Richard. Richard's very flamboyant, very energetic. I think they call him the Energizer Bunny. He's all over the place. But at least he's working for us. And he'll stay working for us for the next 2 years. Help us put him back. I fought against him, but I believe in him today. So when I go vote November 4th, I'm going to vote for him. Matter of fact, I'm just going to pull a straight Democratic lever. So you guys can do that. Thank you.
And next we'll have James Anderson running for judge.
I'd like to thank y'all for the Democratic Executive Committee for putting this evening on, and thank WSKB for being here. And just thanks for all y'all taking time out of your Friday night to come be here and see what the candidates have to say and supporting us. 2011, when I come before you all, I had some ideals and some things I'd like to do, and talked a lot about accountability. So I think when it gets closer to this November cycle, that if I'm going to come ask for your vote, that's part of me being a good candidate, has been accountable for what I told you I would do. And I'd like to talk a little bit on what I pledged to do 3 years ago and what we've accomplished. Basically, ran on five key points last time. That was jobs, combating drugs, planning for the future, our roads, and taxes. Speaking on jobs, when I took office 3 years ago, our unemployment rate was at 10.6%. Today, if you look at the new polls, we're at 7.7%. That's pretty impressive. And you can say some of that, yeah, and some of it is associated with the trends of the economy. But we've done a lot to put ourselves in that position. We brought in 150 new jobs, and if you look at when that started trending, 13. So we've had a big part in what we've done to our unemployment rate here in Powell County, and we're doing a lot more to further improve it. Doing a lot of things that one of our keys here is using our tourism industry to develop, be one of our economic drivers. Hope within the next month you'll see the four counties, it's the first of the kind in the state, ourselves, Lee, Wolf, and Estill County are going to purchase a property for 2,700 acres to develop our adventure tourism, and I think that'll hold big keys to our economy and really give us a leg to stand up on. So I'm pretty excited about that. I'd also pledge to you that I would try to, I think in my campaign literature, maintain our infrastructure. Well, I can stand up here before you today and say not only have we maintained it, we went a long way in improving it. The five fiscal budgets before I took office, they had spent $1.4 million on our roads. At the end of this fiscal year, I will have spent 2.5. So we almost doubled what was spent the previous five budgets before me. And a lot of that has been just making the contacts, working hard. $500,000 of that has been discretionary money, having relationships in a state government that they'll help us out. And it's really starting to show. And it's real exciting when you bring some of these people in from the state and they go out to look at our roads and comment on how there's lots of counties that would kill to have the infrastructure that we have. So we're making a lot of improvements there. We're, as of this week, we started on our 10th new bridge in less than 3 years. And hopefully by the end of this this budget year, we've got four more that will be in the works. So that'll be 14 bridges in just a little over, just basically 3 years. So that's something we can all, that's very important as we move and want new people to come in here, attract them to have the infrastructure to get them to. As far as the drugs, our county workforce is now certified drug-free. That gives us a 5% discount on our insurance premiums with workman's comp. And it sets the example. You know, we're out in front trying to do the right thing and lead by example. Myself, I think, been tested three times, so I'm holding our employees accountable as we'd like our community to be accountable as far as drugs. In planning, we've done a lot of wonderful things. It's been a long time since I think you could say, other than the sewer project, that we've had one project, $3.5 million investment in our community. The new EOC Center has provided that. We're doing a lot of planning for the future. That's going to give us the capability as we look at more regionalisms. That's going to give us the ability to be ahead of most of the other counties around us and hopefully be able to maybe have a regional dispatch or something here that will be a cost savings as those that's starting to be a real stretch right now. Those kind of services are starting to cost us. So if we can look at regional approaches to things, it's a way to ensure that we're not out money on that. So I'm very excited about that. On the accountability level, if you look at the budgets, I mean, our audits over the last couple of years, the 2 years I've been audited are two of the cleanest audits we've had in the history of Powell County. So I'm very proud that not only what we said we was going to do, we're doing it, and the state's finding that we're very accountable to the public and what we do with your funds. We've done all this we've really looked at everything, become more efficient, and looking at new innovative ways to do things. And all these projects have not come by me having to raise taxes or to levy any new ones, and I take a lot of pride in that. We've been able to accomplish these things by making the connections, working to do things more efficiently, and not putting it on the taxpayers' back. So hopefully with that and the new employment we brought to here, that's something that's going to give us new revenue sources. So I'm very excited about what we've done in 3 years, and I'm even more excited about what we can do in the next four. So I just ask for y'all's vote and support, and if you give me four more years, I'll make the same pledge I made before. I'll be hardworking and honest, and those have voted pretty well for us so far. So thank y'all.
And if you're just tuning in, this is the Powell County Democratic Fundraiser.
Okay, the next office is the county clerk. It's Rhonda Varner.
And, of course, my name is Ethan, providing live broadcast coverage here. This will be re-aired on Tuesday following Tradio on your radio. Here's Rhonda Allen Barnett.
Well, hello, everybody, and thank you for putting on this event tonight. And it's good to see everybody out. And as you know, 12 years ago, you entrusted me to be your county clerk. And I find that quite an honor. And I've done my best. And it's just been a privilege to serve you. There's been a whole lot of changes in the last 12 years in technology. And I can say we've met every challenge. We've kept up to date. I go for all the grant money I can go for, and with that grant money, we have one of the top 10 deed rooms in the state. I'm proud of that, and I only made one promise. I have three state audits a year. My audits have been clean, and the public record, and I urge you to check them. It's been a great honor to serve all of you, and I made one promise when I ran the first time, and that was to treat each and every one the same. Everybody's the same in my eyes, rich, poor, what, I don't care if you're purple or green. You know, a lot of you know that I'm just a joker. I like to laugh and I like to cut up, and you think I'm not serious. But when it comes to my budget and handling your tax dollars, I take that very seriously. And I'm proud to say that I have had my financial reports in the whole 12 years. On time, every time, and have allocated the tax money to the taxing districts on time, every time. I have a well-trained staff that I'm so very proud of, and together we have over 75 years of experience combined in your clerk's office. So it's been a great honor to serve you, and I would appreciate your support in this November election, and I appreciate it. Thank you.
And if you're just tuning in, that is Rhonda Allen Barnett, Democrat candidate.
All right, next we have the sheriff, which is Philip Denny Frazier.
And, of course, Rhonda Allen Barnett is the candidate for county clerk. Here's Denny Frazier, candidate
for
Powell County Sheriff.
Thank you again for putting on this program tonight. I'll give you, most everybody knows me, but I want to update, give you a brief. The ones that don't know me, I'm Philip Denny Frazier. I've been married to the former deacon Rattler for 44 years. I'm a member of the Clay City Baptist Church. I've been president of the Fraternal Order of Police for 14 years, in charge of the Cops and Kids program, Shop the Cop program. 35 years in law enforcement experience. I've been with Lake State Park, Stanton Police Department, Clay City Police Department, and a hard end and went to work with the state with Kentucky Vehicle Enforcement, DOT, part of the Kentucky State Police. Spent 30 years there. I was promoted from the officer up through the ranks that when I retired, I was the rank of major in charge of field operations for the state of Kentucky. I'm academy trained, certified police officer. I've had experience in financial management of state and federal budgets. I have did a little background on the sheriff's duty, which is it's all new to me. The sheriff serves as a law enforcement official, collects the county property taxes, provides court security, as well as numerous other statutory services. My deputies will be highly trained police officers and will be certified through the Department of Criminal Justice Training and the Kentucky Law Enforcement Council. My deputies will be qualified to go into the classroom, teach programs for our schools and the children. We need to educate our children on the problems that they face every day in this life. All officers in the department will receive background checks, will be randomly drug tested, will be required to meet physical agility standards. When hiring new recruits, consideration will be given to veterans and trained police officers. I'm looking for programs for children that we can get to help these children do on the weekend and nighttime, because these children, that's when they're getting in trouble. When you get out here on the weekend, nothing to do. A lot of the kids enjoy sports, but there are some children that need activities besides sports. And if we can get these children involved in programs, keep them off the street, I think we can improve our county by having children that involved in the community. If we take time to take care of our children, support them, take care of them, which we're investing in the future of Powell County. If elected to a sheriff, I have written a mission statement that I promised to serve the citizens of Powell County. It would be the mission of the Powell County Sheriff's Office to provide tax collection, 24-hour law enforcement, court security, bridge transport, and civil services to the citizens who live and work in Powell County. My department will be dedicated to conducting ourselves in a professional and respectful manner to gain your trust that you have bestowed in our department. We'll be dedicated to this mission and to the people we serve to ensure that Powell County is a safe place to raise our children, grandchildren, to live and visit, and also be proud of our county. If elected to sheriff, I will strive to meet or exceed these professional and trusted expectations that you have, citizens and taxpayers of Powell County, have entrusted in me. The core values of my sheriff's department will be honesty, service, integrity, courage, fairness to all, and trust in your sheriff's department. If any of my deputies do not meet or exceed these standards, they will not be a part of my department. Some of the programs that I've been looking into that I want to implement if I'm sheriff, number one, of course, will be 24-hour patrols for Powell County, which will include the cities of Clay City and Stanton. We will be supporting their police departments when their officers are tied up or not available to answer calls. I will also coordinate my schedule with Clay City and the Stanton Police Department to ensure that everyone will receive police protection. Our cruisers under my department will be marked so you will know who's in your community that's patrolling your area. Another program that I want to implement is the Neighborhood Watch Program to cut down on some of this criminal activity in your communities. I would meet with and train people on how to watch out for your neighbor and protect them, and what to look for in your community that would help us conduct better investigations. Another program that I'm looking into, if I'm elected sheriff, would be a Citizens Advisory Board. Each county needs citizens to be involved in the courthouse and things you do there. This advisory board would be citizens from all over different parts of Powell County would sit on a board that I would meet with regularly to discuss issues or problems that they're having in their community. And I could update this board on what the Sheriff's Department is doing to protect the community and could receive input from this community, from this citizens board, on how we can improve our Sheriff's Department and make it better to serve you. Also, the board will receive information on the Sheriff's Department budget. After all, the taxpayers are the one footing the bill anyway. And then another program I'm looking into is a chaplain program. I would have a list of pastors throughout the county that would be willing and available to go with my officers to do welfare checks or go talk to elderly people that maybe need help and check on them and make sure they're safe. With the passing of my father last month, I've come up with another program that I'd like to implement. And I would like to maintain an elderly list of people that need help in the county especially the widows who live alone. And in fact, and so the officers, when they're patrolling, could stop in and say, hey, how are you doing? Just check and make sure that they're safe, and I think this will make them feel more secure, too. I will have a professional sheriff's office with 24-hour patrol, answering every call in a timely manner. I realize this could impact the sheriff's budget. So to support this budget, I plan on donating part of my salary back to the county to fund programs to improve the safety and future of our county. Also, in addition to donating part of my salary back, my wife will not be receiving a salary or be a paid employee of the county. I promise you a sheriff's department that everyone will be proud of, an open door policy at the sheriff's office that everyone will be treated fairly and always welcome and receive the utmost respect. After all, we do work for you. I would sincerely appreciate your vote, and please give me the opportunity to make our county better. With that said, we can make our county working together as a team, not only the sheriff's department, but all departments work together to make our county a safe place for our children and grandchildren. Thank you for your time, and God bless you.
And that is Powell County candidate, Democrat candidate for sheriff here in Powell County, Philip Denny Frazier.
I'd like to pause for a moment because I forgot to thank WSKB. And every time I've ever asked WSKB to come out and do anything for the Democrat Party, they have been there 100%. So could y'all give them and Ethan, he is just fabulous to work with. Well, hopefully with your all's help, our next congresswoman has made it here. She said she'd be a little bit late, but better late than never. So if y'all could welcome Elizabeth Jensen.
And our moderator this evening, by the way, is Miss Josie Holland. She is the chair of the Democrat Party in Powell County. This is Elizabeth Jensen next to the podium.
I apologize for being so late. We took a little wrong turn when we got off the highway, and I was almost thinking, oh, it's too late, we're going to miss it, and I was would have been very sorry. I was here just a few weeks ago for the Lions Club Parade and had the opportunity to meet a lot of people here in Powell County, and I was most impressed because everyone I talked to, I asked if they were registered to vote, because it was still before the deadline to register. And everyone I talked to said, yes, I'm registered and I vote. And I think here more than any place I think that I remember in the last year of campaigning, every person I talked to said, yes, I'm registered and I vote. And I was so impressed with that, and I wanted to make sure that I made it here tonight to talk to all of you voters to make sure you vote for me. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Elizabeth Jensen. I'm a businesswoman, an entrepreneur, a Kentucky mom, and I'm running for Congress because I think we need something different in Washington. I think we need some... We need someone who knows what it's like to overcome challenges. We need someone with some real-world experience, someone who's run a business, who's had to be responsible for a bottom line, but to also be responsible for the outcomes that we have to go through to get there. I'm running for Congress because when we elected my opponent, Andy Barr, Kentucky lost one seat in Washington because he's representing Wall Street, not Kentucky families. I am committed to making sure when I get to Washington that everything that comes across my desk I will look at based on how it's going to affect Kentucky families. I feel so bad for my opponent. He's got so many things to juggle. One day he's got to worry about the needs of the billionaires, and one day he's got to worry about the needs of the millionaires. And on one hand, he's got to worry about the Wall Street investment bankers, and on the other hand, he's got to worry about the payday lenders. And he's got so many priorities in Washington, I don't know how he ever has time to worry about what's going on here in Kentucky. But I'm committed to making sure that everything I do will benefit the people here in Kentucky, and my time and my efforts will be spent focusing on things that will help people here. I have spent a year and a half talking to folks in all of the 19 counties, and the thing that I hear from people across the board more than anything is people just don't have enough money in their pockets. The hardest thing in our economy is that nobody has any money to spend. The wages are getting lower and debt is getting higher, and the middle class seems to be slipping away. The rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer, and there's nothing left in the middle. One of the first things that I think that we need to do is to raise the minimum wage. And it is the first thing that we can do to get money in the hands of our hardworking Kentucky families that doesn't come at the expense of taxpayers. It is not right that I talk to families and individuals all the time who are trying to string together 2 and 3 part-time jobs, working 20, 30, 40, 50 hours a week at minimum wage and still have a hard time putting food on the table and have a roof over their heads and making sure their kids have clean clothes for school. It's not fair to us as taxpayers that we're subsidizing businesses who aren't paying their employees wages enough. High enough to take care of their families. I think that it's time that Kentuckians have a raise. Many of you may have seen my opponent's debate with Congressman Chandler in 2012, and one of the first things he said was that government doesn't create jobs. And I think he truly believes that. That's probably why there haven't been any jobs created since he's been in Washington. But I believe government can help us. If I have some news about who the job creators are. If it is not the wealthy. The wealthy are getting wealthier. Corporate America is paying out profits to their shareholders. They're not creating jobs. The wealthy aren't creating jobs. You know who's going to be creating jobs? When government helps us increase the minimum wage, every time we have a little more money in our pocket and you guys go out and do some repairs on your house or buy a car or buy a computer for your kids, you're going to be the job creators. Every time we go out a couple more times a month for dinner or go through a drive-through, we're going to be the job creators. Kentucky's working families are going to be the job creators. America's middle class are going to be the job creators. We're the ones who are going to create the demand in our community. We're going to create the confidence in our businesses, and that's going to create more jobs for people right here in Kentucky, and we can do that by raising the minimum wage. I was so happy to see the sign here. Equal pay for equal work is something that is very, very important to me. I know it still happens today at every level of the workforce. The family I grew up in, both my mother and my grandmother had to work to make ends meet in their family, and they've instilled that work ethic in me. But I personally experienced wage discrimination. I was working in one of the top corporations in America and talking to a colleague of mine one day, and we both had the same job, only I had a much bigger division, but it was exactly the same job, and he casually told me how much money he was making because he just assumed that I was making as much money as he was. And when I told him what I made, he said, "You big schmuck, even Steve makes more money than you do," and his business was smaller than both of ours. And I was so mad. I went home that day, and I actually took the next day off work because I was so mad. I couldn't even talk to my boss because I don't negotiate well with my hair on fire. I went in the next day, and I said, "I know I'm not supposed to know this, but I do, and it's not right." And he looked at me, and he said, "Give me a break. These guys have mortgages, and they have homes, and you don't need the money." And I didn't do anything at the time because I liked my job. And that was years ago, but it is something that has bothered me for a long time. And if I have the opportunity now to pay that forward for all the young women out there who are starting their careers or for the single moms who are working to try and make ends meet in their family, I'm committed to making sure we pass the Paycheck Fairness Act no matter what it takes or any other legislation to make sure that women receive equal pay for equal work. As I have traveled 19 counties, I hear from everyone, we set the bar too low when we elected Andy. Since he's been in office, he has not done anything to help the people in our district. One of the first things he did after he was elected was to introduce legislation to help banks and credit card companies that he'd just taken $150,000 in campaign contributions from and turned around and let them introduce a bill that let them offer subprime no-income verification mortgages, which is how we got in the housing crisis to begin with. The next things he did was to vote against Hurricane Sandy relief. And I was out in West Liberty in eastern Kentucky right after the tornado 3 years ago. I was working with Christian Appalachian Project delivering supplies, and I saw the devastation there. And I don't know what he would do if that happened again. Would he vote against federal relief for Kentucky? He said New York didn't need it. He voted against the farm bill he voted against SNAP benefits in the last farm bill. And he said that was the most compassionate thing that he could do. It was compassionate policy. Well, I can tell you compassionate policy would be raising the minimum wage. Every opportunity that my opponent has had, he's thrown hardworking Kentucky families under the bus. He is working for Wall Street, he's working for special interest, he's working for the payday lenders, and I'm asking for the opportunity to work for you. I'm a mom. I have a 10-year-old son that goes to a public school in Lexington, and that's the most important hat I wear. But he's my personal inspiration for doing this. He goes to a Title I school, and Title I schools were cut significantly in the sequester last year, and they'll be hit again in 2015. We also rely on special education, and special education was hit significantly in 2015. My opponent is not going to fight for those kind of things. I want to go to Washington to fight for people in our district, for the needs of people in our district, but also to do that with common sense and fiscal responsibility. I hope that in the next 24, we have 24 actual working days before the election. You will spend time with your neighbors, with your friends, talk about how important this election is, talk about the important issues that can be affected by this election. And I'll repeat them again so we know, and you tell your friends to get out at this election. We need to make sure we pass the minimum wage. We need paycheck fairness. We need to make sure we're investing in our schools, in our bridges, in the things in our community that are the most basic things the government should be paying for. There are a lot of tax loopholes that we can close to make sure that we have the money to do the things that are important, to educate our kids, to take care of our seniors, and to take care of our veterans who have spent so much time serving us. As a Kentucky mom, I hope that you'll give me the opportunity to serve you, your family, and your community, and give me your vote on November 4th.
All right, folks, if you're just tuning in, that is Elizabeth Jensen, running opposed to Mr. Andy Barr, which she made no bones about.
Thank you.
Now our moderator, Ms. Josie Holland.
Okay. There's a lot of things been going on tonight, so there are some people that couldn't be here, but I'm going to read over the list so that you'll know and make sure that you vote for them, too. Dustin Billings is running for the property evaluation. He's unopposed. Robert King, for county attorney, unopposed. Travis Crabtree, jailer, unopposed. Hondo Hearn, coroner. And then Kevin Davis is county surveyor. So make sure, even though these people don't have anyone running against them, it doesn't matter. Vote for them. Let them know how many people are backing them and supporting them. Next, we have magistrates. In the first district, we have Robert Richardson. Robert, do you want to come up and say something?
And again, this is Robbie Richardson. He's going to be stepping to the podium. And
everybody, I guess you know me by Robert Richardson, but I'm running for candidate in precinct one, and the master, I'm not very good on speech, but I'm just old-fashioned, but I look forward to being your next master in this election. Several years back I run, I done real good, but the other opponent, he done good, and I thought it'd be my time to be a new master for this time, and just like Mr. Anderson said, that you know, we need to work together and make our hometown a safer place to be in. And our roads and our cemeteries needs to be updated, like you said. You know, you can't do it all, but, you know, you can do your best to see what we can get done. You know, it's time for a change, and I'd like to be your next master in Precinct 1 and 6 of the Democrat Party, Robert Richardson. Thank you.
That is Robbie Richardson, Mr. Robert Richardson.
Okay, then we have Kenneth Goat Rice. Is he? Okay. Well, don't forget to vote for Kenneth Goat Rice. I'll tell you that. District 2. And, yeah. District 3, we have Mike Lockard that's running. I don't think he's here. And District 4, we have Timmy Tipton.
Timmy Tipton is going to step up to the podium to speak. Of course, you are listening to the pre-recorded broadcast of the Democrat Fundraising Forum.
For those of you who don't know me, my name is Timmy Tipton, and I'm a candidate for master in District 4. District 4 is made up of like the eastern third of the county. It's the largest district, has the most county roads, the roughest terrain. My wife Pam's here with me, and come June, we've been married 38 years. I know she's quite proud of that. We raised two beautiful kids that in this community that they went to school at elementary school at Bourne Elementary, graduated high school. Kids are very proud of. But we need to do as much as we can to make sure that our young people have jobs and don't move off like our daughter did on us. And love to have her back on. But I think it's important to hear a lot of talk tonight, but, you know, I'm able and willing to work as a team player for the common good of the county. And I will respectfully listen to the opinion of others. I will voice my opinion. And I also value trust and relationships. Relationships built over time is very important and at every level. And the most important thing is listening to the people that I represent. To kind of keep it short and simple, I served in this capacity for four previous terms, a couple terms back, but I really believe I have the experience and the knowledge and commitment to do this job. And I really would like to serve in this capacity again, help move this county forward. And it'd be an honor to serve in this capacity again. So please remember me, November the 4th, it is, I guess, and to vote for Timmy Tipton as master. Need all your help. Thank you.
And that is Timmy Tipton here at the Democrat Fundraising Forum.
Okay, District 5's Donna Gabbard, but Donna is out of town this weekend, so she does need your help. Make sure you vote for her. The next thing would be constables. District 1, we have Anthony Faulkner. Not sure he's here. Richard Fogarty. I think his wife is here. Did you want to speak? Okay, sure. Come on up.
This is Richard Fogarty's wife. Going to be speaking on his behalf.
My name is Phyllis Fogarty. I'm Richard Fogarty's wife. Rick had to go on a bus trip tonight. He takes cheerleaders to the ball game. He is employed with the Powell County Schools. But I know if Rick were standing here, he'd say, I would appreciate your vote. So please vote for Rick. Thank you.
All right. We're driving back in the rain this evening.
Ricky Allen. J.L. Bowen. I know J.L. likes to talk. J.L.'s District 4.
He is stepping up to the podium. If you're just tuning in, this is the pre-recorded broadcast of the 2014 Democrat Fundraising Forum. We're at the AmVets building in Clay City.
No, I'm up in Upper Ende County, District 4. I want to use, you know, the experience I've had worrying about the safety of the county, and I was emergency management director and fire chief, being an EMT since the ambulance has had wooden wheels on them. But I want to use that to help our new team that we get elected here. You know, I've done a lot of stuff with public safety, with the fire department, the ambulance service, and the storms, and been out there with the highway department on the roads 27 years. But the main thing we got to do is we got to elect our team, more especially our sheriff here, that we get someone in this county to help with the crime and the drugs. And I can't, you know, as a constable, you don't get to do a lot, but you know, with him, I'll be his man up and upper end or whatever. I can help in any way, whatever, with the community watch programs and all those. I've done some of those. So that's what I want to do, and we just got to get him elected so we can turn the county around. So.
All right, if you're just tuning in, that was J.L. Bowen. Again, advocating for the sheriff here tonight as well.
Hey, District 5 is Gerald Bishop. Right. I got someone else I need to thank. Y'all know all the non-perishables that you use tonight, the paper, the plates, the spoons, and all of that stuff? That was all donated by Evergreen Community. if you could just stop and think about it, I mean, they're a fantastic organization for our community. They help with... Tina Epperson, could you stand up? She's the one that got all this stuff for us, so give her a big hand. It's a huge help. Okay, now we're going to talk about once you push the Democrat button, that's not the whole election. We've got other races that you have to take care of. Number one, the Court of Appeals. Sarah Combs is running again. Don't forget her. We got the judge. Yeah. And then you got judge of the Court of Appeals. That's the second district. I guess Sarah's in the first district. That is a Varney and a Stumbo. These are nonpartisan races, so I don't know Democrat, Republican. We've got the circuit judge is running for his race unopposed. Family court is Harold and Larry Miller. Larry is here, if y'all could, and I want to tell you, Larry is my cousin and family, so I'm very partial. So if you could give him a round of applause, please.
And again, if you're just tuning in, this is the 2014 Democrat Fundraising Forum. Mr. Larry Miller getting ready to take the podium. He is in the nonpartisan race for family court judge running against Samuel Bruce Harrell.
Thank you for providing this interesting forum and inviting me to attend. My name is Larry Miller, and I thank you for allowing me to serve as your family court judge in the 39th Judicial Circuit comprised of Al, Wolf, and Breathitt counties. After the constitutional amendment providing for the establishment of family courts in the Commonwealth of Kentucky, our family court began in 2008. The family court lightened the caseloads of the circuit and the district court, and its jurisdiction includes divorce cases, child custody and support cases, adoption cases, termination of parental rights cases, social services, dependency, neglect, and abuse cases, and juvenile status offenses, which includes beyond control of parents and beyond control of schools. The family court cases are often stressful for parents and children and even extended family members. These cases aren't easy to listen to. They're not easy to decide. I don't take any pleasure in deciding how to divide marital property and marital debts in divorce cases. I don't take any pleasure in terminating a parent's parental rights to their child. I don't take any pleasure in removing children from parental custody. And I don't take any pleasure in having to decide contested custody disputes. But these are cases that the family court is tasked to decide, and that's what has to be done when people can't agree. Of course, my advice to everyone is that anytime people are able to settle and resolve their own disputes, they're usually happier than when a third party tells them what they have to do. So I would encourage people to make every effort to enter into settlement agreements whenever possible. I don't pretend to be perfect. I don't have a truth meter or a magic wand. You can't always tell by looking at people who's telling the truth and who isn't. And being human, I will make mistakes. But I assure you that I don't do that intentionally. There's generally two sides to every case, and most of the time the parties only see their side and not the other. As I have campaigned and knocked on doors, I have run into people who have been happy with family court decisions, and I've run into people who've been disappointed with family court decisions. People don't usually say, "Well, that judge was right. I shouldn't have received custody of my children." You probably won't hear that. The family court is fortunate that in every case, people have the right to appeal the family court's decision to a higher court for a review. And if the appellate courts determine that there's been a mistake or an error, they will correct it. In cases involving children, if a parent, if the child, until the child is 18, any parent can file a motion to modify custody or visitation with that child. And a new hearing will be scheduled and new evidence can be presented. If a parent feels that their child is not being appropriately cared for by the other parent, they can report that to social services. That agency will conduct an investigation, and if they find it's merited, they'll file a dependency, neglect, or abuse petition and remove that child from the inappropriate parent's custody. In domestic violence cases, some people have been disappointed, saying, well, it didn't happen, somebody lied, and I don't want to pay the cost of court-ordered counseling. Well, again, you know, sometimes one person says it happened, the other person says it didn't. There's no witnesses. The court has no truth in it. And it's probably true that I may err on the side of caution, but my focus is not to find someone beaten or stabbed or shot and lying in the roadway. When people are ordered to counseling, I'm hopeful that both parties will learn to modify their behavior and avoid any future domestic violence situations. And that's the purpose of ordering counseling in all domestic violence cases. I'm aware of the challenges of custody actions and of parenting. I was awarded custody of my niece, who's now 15, when my youngest sister died, and her father is also deceased. And she's a straight-A student, and she's been a blessing in my life. But all of a sudden, she seems to know more than I do, and she doesn't want to be seen in my old red truck. And with this cell phone stuff, I'm worried that she'll never learn to function individually, and she'll have to travel in groups everywhere she goes. I've seen a lot of changes in people's attitudes over the last 20 years. There's more minor children who are born out of wedlock, and surprisingly, there's never been a petition filed by the parents for custody determinations. There's no establishment of whether there's joint custody or sole custody or what kind of time-sharing or visitation the non-custodial parent has. There's an increasing number of dependency, neglect, and abuse cases filed by the Kentucky Cabinet for Health and Family Services. And I'm not really sure that what I consider to be normal is normal to a segment of the population that I'm dealing with, because not all people put their children or their family first. And there's a lot of I, me, my attitude today in the courtroom. There are children every month who are born addicted and go through withdrawals. There are parents who overdose in their children's presence, and the children have to call 911 for help. There are parents who leave their child in the custody of their boyfriend or girlfriend, and they come home and discover that their infant has been shaken and physically injured as a result of that abuse, or that their five-year-old has been hit in the head with a two before and has suffered a subdural hematoma. I don't know what children would do without grandparents and aunts and uncles to pick up the pieces and provide for their care. And I'm concerned about what will happen when the grandparents and aunts and uncles are gone. As I've campaigned, I've heard the rumors that I'm slow in making case decisions, that I don't want to talk to people about their cases, and that I'm rude to people in the courtroom. Well, the facts are that judges are prohibited from ex parte communications. That's talking to one party outside of the courtroom when the other party isn't present. Judges aren't supposed to do that. And, of course, everywhere I go, people will want to approach me and talk about their case, and I try to tactfully explain to them that that is the judicial code of ethics, and I'm not supposed to do that. And they'll say, oh, it doesn't matter. This is just between us. Nobody will know it. Well, the problem with that is that I know it, and I want to be an honest and an ethical judge, and I hope that the people I serve want that too. So, the best way to be of assistance to somebody who has a case you're interested in is to be a witness. Come to the courtroom, testify. I'll be happy to listen and hear everything you have to say about that case and consider it. And that's the way you help people that you're interested in. The Administrative Office of the Courts gives the trial court judges 90 days to make decisions in every case. Now, granted, over the last 7 years, there's probably been a few cases that I've taken more time than that to decide because of attorney's delays or because of the research involved in trying to figure out what the law is to apply to the case. But the vast majority of cases have been decided in less than 30 days. And the court hears cases in the courtroom 5 days a week, motions and final hearings. And the only time left to write the judgments and orders is nights and weekends. So the majority of the time, if you're looking for me and during the evening or on the weekend, I'll be in the office. And that's what I'll be doing. If I have said anything inappropriately to anyone in the courtroom, I apologize for that. I try to be as fair and impartial and as civil as I can be, but of course I'm human and sometimes I can be brusque, and that's probably not an exemplary judicial temperament, but I am human, and sometimes I do make a statement. I recall, as I was campaigning, one girl said, well, I was in the courtroom, and I didn't appreciate what you said in my brother's case. He was there for a divorce, and he and his wife had agreed on everything, and all they wanted was to get divorced. And you said, well, don't you have any napkins or tablecloths or dishes or spoons to divide? And she took that offensively when actually I was, I guess, trying to be humorous. Of course, not having the court experience and not having been there all day, she didn't know that that's what we've been talking about all day long in all the other cases. And, of course, I was relieved that they didn't have anything to divide, but she took it offensively. I was born and raised in Wolf County. I graduated from Wolf County High School. I earned a degree in business administration from the University of Kentucky and a law degree from the University of Dayton. I practiced law 14 years before I ran for circuit judge. I served as circuit judge for 11 years before being elected as family court judge in 2007. I have completed a 30-day general jurisdiction class at the National Judicial College in Reno, Nevada. I have completed the National Judicial College's family court training. I have attended annually the Circuit Judges Judicial College and kept updated on new laws made by the legislature and new cases decided by the Kentucky Court of Appeals and the Kentucky Supreme Court. And I feel that with my 33 years as an attorney in this circuit, 17 3/4 of which I've served in a judicial capacity, I feel that that qualifies me to serve as your family court judge. And I hope you will agree with that. The administrative office of the courts tells me that in between March of 2008 and December of 2013, that we processed 6,900 and some cases. That many cases were closed. So I don't know if you would call that slow or overworked. My family and I have knocked on doors, and we've been campaigning since the 1st of June. If you weren't at home, I left a card, and I'm asking you now for your vote and support on November the 4th, and I would certainly appreciate it. Thank you.
That is candidate for Family Court Judge Larry Miller. Again, a nonpartisan race.
Okay, and district judge would be Kenny Prophet. Don't forget him. Next is our mayor of Clay City, and then Stanton. I know Stanton's is here. So, Dale, you want to say something?
Again, another nonpartisan race. Mr. Dale Allen from Stanton, the incumbent.
Thank you all for allowing me to speak. 8 years ago, I decided to run for mayor of Stanton. We had been off of the economic indicator through Frankfort for a number of years. We weren't allowed to talk to anybody about a job. They weren't allowed to send anybody here, and it was all because of our infrastructure. I ran on the platform of, if you elect me, I'll try to help you with a sewer. Well, last October it came online. I helped to form the Red River Wastewater Authority. We traveled up and down the road to board, and they did a lot of work. They worked for free. For years, we traveled to Frankfort. Biggest project ever done in this county, $13 million. Since that time, we've had quite a few, at least inquiries about jobs. We've gained some jobs with Scott Archery. Powell Valley Millwork is online. Matthew Foster's building a new building in the industrial park. One of the first things, if a company does come and look at your county, you got to have infrastructure, you got to have schools, and you also, they look at your park system. I'm very proud of the park. If you haven't been there, you need to go. When we took over 8 years ago, it was a park, but it wasn't up to date. The only vote I ever got to make was to pass the restaurant tax. And people I know they don't like that T word, but you know, 60% or 70% of that money comes from the tourists coming up and down the parkway. So it's you can go out there and you can see about $1.5 million that's been spent right there to upgrade it, walking track, splash park, baseball field. If it hadn't rained, the baseball field and soccer field would already be done. But we've had so much rain, you work a little while and you don't get to do any more. When I took over, it was 7 years behind on audits. Actually, the city didn't know where they stood. But without those audits, you don't know what your books are or anything to do with your financials. I just read the report. I've averaged two audits a year since I've taken over. I just read last week the 12 and 13 audit. In that audit, since I've taken office, we've reduced your debt, we've reduced your liabilities, and we've increased your assets. The next audit, which will be the final audit, which is 13 and 14, and then you have from June until December to finish that audit. They'll be starting on that in the next week or so. So by the end of the year, all the audits of the city of Stanton will be in compliance with the state. That's another thing that I'm proud of. It's been a struggle. It's a strain on your finances because an audit's not cheap. So we've been having to do, I'd say, two a year ever since I've been in office. Running again, a third time. I would like to see the sewer system expanded farther out. We're going to have another road project that's going to be starting. And we survived the last one through the middle of town. It was a headache. And I know anybody that been through town or lived through that, it was a tough time. But it's on the table now to finish the road from where it ended in Stanton to the foot of the mountain with a new bridge, which has been needed for years and years and years. So glad to see that project going. Our county is moving ahead. Not just with me. We, with the sewer system, it was a combination of both mayors and the judge working together. In fact, we won the Spirit Award for the state of Kentucky with that project. And that was, and we did it without putting too much strain on people. When we started, they said, well, the best you're going to be able to do is 50% grant money and 50% loan money. Well, if you make enough trips down and get all them people in the room together and talk, and everybody takes a turn talking, and you go back a month or two later and you talk again, we end up 70% grant money and 30% loan money. So, proud of that. But anyway, I would like to ask for your vote again come November the 4th, and I appreciate being able to serve as your mayor. Thank you.
And there's the incumbent, Dale Allen, Mayor of Stanton.
Okay. All right.
Oh, one more thing. Okay. All right. Just speaking to
congratulations.
Him, to him being cancer-free. Of course, was struggling with cancer earlier this year, but now he's cancer-free.
Okay.
Had the report done today. Mayor Allen there.
Okay.
All right. Elizabeth Jensen needing to head out. Tony Ball getting everybody to rise to their feet there.
Elizabeth, do you have any yard signs? Okay. Okay. I could use that. Yes. Yes, please. All right. Thank you. It's been brought to my attention, and this is kind of an idea. I'd like for you all to kind of give me input. Yeah, you may. You think it's horrible. You think it's great. But we're thinking about maybe a street demonstration for Allison Jensen and the rest of the Democrats. On the sidewalk from the bank up to the stoplight. Any interest? Any yay, nay? Don't sit like Republicans. You gotta talk. We're thinking of a street demonstration for the Democrats and Allison and Jensen. Kind of holding up any yard signs, any kind of signs that we can have to let people know. This will be October the 25th on a Saturday. Just to remind people that there's an election coming, we need to be out and we need to be voting. Yes? No? All right.
I guess that is a...
We will start. If you want to, you can park in my parking lot there at Elkins Insurance on Main Street. Bring any of your politicians. Bring your signs. We'll be glad to hold them up. We'll probably, 2 hours, 3 hours? Huh? Oh, well, Mr. Ball's got to talk. Hang on a minute.
Coming to the podium is Mr. Tony Ball. He was Democrat chair for many years.
This is my baby, and I want to talk about my baby. Now, we've all done some things. We've all done things. We've put up yard signs. We've put up, we've given some money out of Power County to our candidates. But for some reason, I don't feel that we've done all we can do. I'm an old union man, and I believe in walking the streets, and I believe in holding up signs. I believe you ought to have a sign that says, honk if you like Elizabeth, honk for Allison. Let's put out on a show, because the Republicans, they're going to walk on us if we're not careful, if we don't stand up. This is the chance of a lifetime to beat Mitch McConnell. This is our chance. This is our time. Stand up. Let's walk. Let's show the community that there are people that are for Allison, and there are people that are for this lady that we just had here. I know her. She's a fine person. Her heart is in the right place. She doesn't know everything to Wall Street and all these people. She's one of us. I have known Miss Grimes' father and that family for 25, 30 years. This is our time. They are our people. They know where Powell County is. Allison Grimes has been in Powell County four times already. This is a big state. There's 120 counties. She's been in Powell County four times. And to my memory, Mitch McConnell was in Powell County one time in 1984, 5, something like that. One time. Does anybody know him being here twice? Go stand up to prove I'm wrong. He's been here one time in Powell County, and that was way back there. The time is now to beat this man. He's done nothing for us, thank you. I hope that you all will come out on whatever date she said and stand up with me. Let's hold a few signs up. We'll make some signs. I'll make some signs. Let's stand up. Let's be counted. Let's stand up. Stand up. Stand up if you're with me. Stand up if you're with me. It's time to do things. Thank you. Thank you.
And that is Mr. Tony Ball, former Democrat chair.
I like the excitement. I know. I'm doing that. Next, we've got city council. Do we have any of them that's running for the Clay City Council here? All right, we have Stanton City Council here. I know Limble. Limble, you want to come up and speak?
All right, Limble is here, and he's stepping to the podium. Of course, you are listening to the pre-recorded broadcast coverage of the 2014 Democrat Forum.
In the Democrat Committee, WSKV. I'm Limble Bellamy. I know most of you know me. I don't know if anybody that don't, but I'm not going to talk very long because the mayor said everything probably that I would have said. He's been in a couple years longer than I have. But I was here when we started on the wastewater treatment plant and city park. And I'm not going to go into that. All I want to say is that I do my job the best I can do it. I'm highly visible. If somebody comes to me with a problem, I take it straight to the mayor. If he can't correct it, we bring it up at the meeting, and we get an answer on it, and I get back with him. And I'm going to continue to do that job, and I appreciate it if you can help me. But before I leave, I want to say one thing. Those people cooking that chili back there, I've got three sisters. That's cooking chili, and two of them don't even live in this county. So if they come over here and think this much of Powell County, you know I'm proud of it. And if you can help me get reelected, I'll appreciate it. And thank you very much.
And, of course, Mr. Linville Bellamy, Stanton City Council candidate, the incumbent.
How many of the Democrat committee is here, the executive committee? Could you all stand up?
See, it looks like we have about
could you give these
six,
people a round of applause?
Seven.
They work really hard for this party. Really hard. Okay, the next one we have is the school board. I'm not sure that anybody's here for school board. City council. Oh, Corey. I knew I'd forget someone.
All right.
And Gerald. Gerald, too. Y'all got to stand up and say, I'm here.
Moving back to Stanton City Council here. And, of course, you are tuned in to WSKV 104.9 This is the pre-recorded broadcast from the fundraiser dinner forum.
Well, folks, my name is Corey Graham. I'm running for Stanton City Council. Made the decision to do that earlier this year. And first, I want to thank the Democratic Committee for putting this on, all of you for coming out, and for giving the nonpartisan candidates a chance to speak. It's really good of them to open this floor up to those of us who have the opportunity to try and represent those of you who live in our districts. I want to say the name of four nations in the world. It might seem a little odd to bring up international politics in a Stanton City Council race, but if you'll bear with me for 1 second, I promise it'll make sense. Iraq, Uganda, Pakistan, and India. When you think of those four countries, you rarely think of anything positive. Yet all four of those countries, according to the CIA, currently have a lower poverty rate than the city of Stanton, Kentucky. That is unacceptable. Our council, our mayors, they've worked hard over the years. They've done good work. We should recognize the work that they've done. But it's time to continue pushing forward and to push harder and stronger than we ever have before. We are losing generations of our children. We're losing them to drugs. We're losing them to poverty. We're losing them to hopelessness. Right now, one out of every three people living in Stanton on average is living in poverty. Almost 41% of the children under the age of five are living in poverty. Drugs are rampant on our streets, crime is climbing, and heroin has invaded our town. In Newport, 5 years after the dramatic increase in heroin hit their town, heroin-related crimes increased by 2,850%. We cannot stand back and allow this to infest our county or our cities. As your next city councilman, if you're with me, I will stand strong for a strong police force. We can work with future sheriff, hopefully, Frazier. Work strong to fight these crimes, to nip these things in the bud, to rid our streets of this criminal element that is driving us into the ground. We can work with our state government for tax incentives, for grants, for programs we can bring in, working with the mayor to make opening a business in Stanton not seem like a ridiculous idea. We can bring greater economic prosperity into the town of Stanton, Kentucky, unlike anything we've seen in generations. In the last 15 years, Lexington, Richmond, Mount Sterling, and Winchester have seen their populations increase by an average of 18%, while Stanton, in that same period of time, has seen its decrease by 16%. Those numbers in those cities I mentioned are our children. They are a generation of our citizens moving away, running from joblessness, running from hopelessness, running from drug abuse and crime and into the cities around us and supplying their economies, supplying their generations with leaders. We cannot stand back and allow this trend to continue. If we plan to move Stanton into the 21st century, and I do, I grew up here. I grew up on Airport Road. I love Stanton, and I'm not going anywhere. What I'm asking is come November 4th for all of you to come with me, and let's turn the page on the past. Let's bury what we've left behind and keep the good parts of our community. Let's run forward as hard as we can and say we will not stand by and allow hopelessness, joblessness, drugs, and despair to run our town. We have pride in Stanton. And we will bring that pride to the streets of Stanton every single day. Thank you all.
Candidate for Stanton City Council, Mr. Corey Graham.
Okay. And Gerald, it is your turn.
All right. Another candidate for Stanton City Council. Takes the stage here.
Well, folks, I never could put on much of a speech or stand up before a crowd and say anything, but I'm real glad to be here tonight. I enjoyed it. I see some pretty people. Of course, I see some that ain't too good looking, too, but that's beside the point. One of them sitting right here. Love every one of you, folks, and I was proud to serve on the city council for 2 years. I've been out 2 years now, and I'm wanting back in. I ain't going to tell you that I've done great things, but the 2 years that I was in, things went smooth as silk. I didn't see no water raises. I didn't see no tax raises. A lot of things I didn't see done like that, and there's a lot of good things that I've seen done. I appreciate the mayor. He always worked good with me. Now, he put him down all he wants to, but we work perfect together. I appreciate Linville Bellamy. I worked with him, and we worked great together. I appreciate every one of them. I appreciate you, and I appreciate my city of Stanton. I've raised 8 kids there. Yeah, I'm that old. You might not believe that. You thought I was 17, 18-year-old, didn't you? Let me tell you something, honey. I'm an antique. I've raised 8 kids. I got 30 grandchildren, and I got 11 greats and another one coming. And I'm proud of every one of them. It ain't been easy raising that many. I drove an old truck, and I fed every one of them. I got my little daughter standing back there right now. She's the only one of the families down here. She must be standing behind me. Appreciate it, honey. Pam's a great girl. Everybody knows Pam. Everybody knows me. My name is Gerald Rogers, better known as the Red Man. If you'll let me back, I'll start right where I quit. I'll do the best job I can do. Now, let me tell you, the councilman can't do everything, and the mayor can't do everything. But if they work together, we can get things done. Now, a lot of people won't be proud of some of the things that's done. But how are you going to satisfy everybody? Just do the best we can. Right? I love every one of you. Vote for me when you go out to vote, if you will. And I'll do anything for you I can. Thank you, and God bless every one of you.
That is Gerald Rogers, candidate for Stanton City Council.
All right. We've got the school board races, too, so don't forget those, and that's all of the election. Ovi, could you come up here and auction the pies? And we're going to call the last call for any voting. So any of y'all want to go vote for the chili? So that your favorite chili can win, do it now. And the 50-50 jar, okay. Yeah, we can do that.
And, of course, that wraps up the portion of the broadcast today dealing with the candidates out here at the 2014 Democrat Forum Fundraiser. This is being held down at the Ambets Building. And, of course, my name is Ethan. I'm down here with broadcast coverage. I do want to run back through the candidates very briefly. Richard Henderson was the first candidate up to speak. Unfortunately, Richard was not able to be here tonight. Had some conflicting other commitments. But Davis, who ran against him last election, actually came up to speak in support of him a little while ago and did quite a job supporting Richard Henderson here at the Democrat Forum. Judge Anderson stepped up to speak. He is the incumbent running against the Republican here in the county. And Judge Anderson highlighted that he campaigned on 5 things: jobs, drugs, the future, taxes, and roads. And he really highlighted how he sought to accomplish each one of those tasks as he was in, and really highlighted the regional tourism effort that's being built, talked about how funds for roads have been doubled, highlighted how they've become certified drug-free within the government of Powell County, and was just really pushing that. Also, he highlighted how jobs have gone from unemployment of 10.6% down to 7.7%. And again, that's always good to hear that folks without jobs are decreasing here in the area. Next up from the judge executive candidate, Judge Anderson, was Rhonda Allen Barnett. She is running again. This would make 12 years that she's been in office. She highlighted that she has gone through state audits as the county clerk, and 3 per year, and has shown clean through each of those 3 audits. And her platform is to treat everyone the same, which has been a big deal for her as she's been in office. Then our next candidate to speak tonight was Philip Denny Frazier. He highlighted that he's a family man. He goes to church, member of the FOP, and, of course, the director here in this area. Works with the Cops and Kids program, many organizations. He retired as the major in charge of field operations for Kentucky State Police. He highlighted his platform, highly trained officers, school-certified officers, drug-tested officers, preference to vets. He wants to take care of the children. He wants to supply 24-hour patrols to both city, both cities. He wants to coordinate with the city departments to give coverage when the city folks can't. He wants to make sure county folks are available. He also highlighted the neighborhood watch program he'd like to implement, citizens advisory board to increase communication between the sheriff's office and the citizenry. Also, he wanted highlighted he wanted a chaplain program to go with the officers in some sensitive situations, to work with the pastors of the county. And then also he talked about how he wanted to maintain an elderly list for folks in the county so that deputies could check with those folks. Also, he highlighted that he'd be willing to donate a portion of his salary back to the Powell County folks to be able to fund these programs that he's highlighted. And then he detailed his mission statement and core values. That he has those things, of course, speaks very well to his organization. Again, that's Philip Denny Frazier. He spoke as candidate for on the Democrat side for Powell County Sheriff. Then we got to hear, she ran a little late getting here. She had got lost, took a wrong turn. But Miss Elizabeth Jensen, she's running against Andy Barr. And she was really impressed, she said, previously being here in the county with how many citizens are registered to vote here in the area. That's as far as her straw poll of the community anyway. She highlighted that she's a businesswoman, a Kentucky mom, and she has real world experience. Then she spent a fair amount of time talking against her opponent, Andy Barr, said that he represented Wall Street, not Kentucky families, really criticized Barr. And then she came back to her core topic through her entire speech was raising the minimum wage. And she felt like that is the big key to moving Kentucky forward, is raising that minimum wage. She said it's time for Kentucky to have a raise. She's really attacked the concept that government doesn't create jobs. She believes that it should create jobs and should create the environment for jobs to exist. And she was highlighting how it's not the wealthy that create jobs, but she felt like the middle class create jobs. And if we put more taxpayer money back in their pockets, that will give them an opportunity. She also highlighted that she believes that they need to close tax loopholes. She didn't really detail what she meant by that, but I'm assuming the tax breaks for the wealthy is what she was addressing there. Again, I don't know because she wasn't very specific, but she did also highlight the equal pay for equal work. She highlighted that she had personally been subject to wage discrimination, and she would like to see that ended with a Paycheck Fairness Act or other legislation. And then she went back to criticizing Barr again. She said when they elected Andy, they expected people to, of course, or expected Andy to go and do a good job. And they felt like, she felt like they lowered the bar when they elected Andy, is what she said. And she really pushed towards the money trail. Again, pushing that he's controlled by Wall Street, controlled by wealthy individuals, is what she was accusing there. She said there's 24 working days before the election and encouraged everybody to get out to vote. And then she went back and highlighted raising minimum wage again and education and roads and spent a little time there. Again, that is the candidate Democrat side running against Andy Barr, and that is Elizabeth Jensen. She came and spoke to the people. She did have to leave a little bit early. Again, she had some other commitments that she had to get to tonight. Then they were also highlighting some of the candidates that are running unopposed that were not here tonight. Dustin Billings, Robert King, Travis Crabtree, Hondo Hearn, and then I believe County Surveyor. I did not get his name. I do apologize. Trying to write down. They were moving through very quickly. The Precinct Magistrate 1, Robert Richardson, did get up and speak, and he highlighted working together. That was really his whole core topic. And then Kenneth Goat Rice was in the room, District 2 Magistrate candidate, but he declined to speak, and the crowd, of course, all enjoy Kenneth Goat Rice. District 3, Mike Lockard, was unable to be here tonight, that candidate. District 4, Timmy Tipton stepped up and spoke. He has actually served before. He took some time off. He didn't detail why. But he'd like to serve again. He's been married 38 years. He highlighted kids and really he's a family guy. He highlighted that he believes that young people and jobs are the key here in the community. He believes he's a team player and wants to work as a team. He listens to people, and he believes he has the knowledge and commitment to execute the job well. Next was Donna Gabbard, and she was not here to speak, District 5 candidate. And then we had the constables that stepped up. Anthony Faulkner was absent tonight. Richard Fogarty was absent because he's driving the bus for the cheerleaders coming back from the game this evening. And his wife got up and spoke on his behalf and spoke very well of her husband, Richard Fogarty. And then Ricky Allen was absent as well tonight. But again, wanted to mention his name this evening as they were going through the candidates. J.L. Bowen did get up and speak very enthusiastically. He said he has the experience. He highlighted that he's worked with fire and ambulance and other services to do a great job here in the community, and he believes he's very qualified to be a constable. And then Daryl Bishop was mentioned again. Then, of course, we moved on to the nonpartisan races, which, again, is very respectable that the Democrats tonight took some time out of their schedule to bring in some of the nonpartisan folks, including First District Court of Appeals was highlighted, Ms. Sarah Combs. She was unable to make it here tonight, but she was, of course, discussed. And then she opened up the floor to Family Court Judge. And Larry Miller was here tonight, and he spent a good little while discussing his platform, discussing the difficulty that the family court judge faces day in and day out. And he said kind of his big theme was he believes he wants to always err on the side of safety for the child. That was his thing, always wants to err on the side of safety for the children. He was elected in 2007, and he says he keeps up-to-date training. Those were the two big key points, too, that he highlighted, and spent a good deal of time describing the difficulties that come with family court judge. Then Kenny Prophet was mentioned, also running. Of course, he was not in attendance tonight. And then we moved on to the mayors. Mayor Cottle was not in attendance tonight, but Mayor Allen was, Mayor of Stanton, and he is the incumbent. He highlighted under his 8 years the wastewater authority established, and, of course, the biggest project Powell County's ever done, $13 million for the wastewater management. And, of course, he's really looking forward to serving a third term if the people will elect him. He highlighted the park system and how the restaurant tax wasn't popular, but when you look at the park, just how beautiful it is and wonderful for the county. And then also he highlighted that they do two audits a year for the Stanton City, and he said in those years he's reduced the debt and liabilities and increased assets if you were to look when he started to now. And then next we got to hear from city council candidates. There were no Clay City Council candidates here tonight to speak. But from Stanton, we heard from Linville Bellamy. He supported the mayor wholeheartedly. He said he's visible, and he follows up. So, again, nothing that you can really argue with there. Linville Bellamy, a candidate. Corey Graham, very enthusiastic, stepping to the podium tonight. He really pushed lowering the poverty rate. He started out with a very dramatic example of foreign countries that have a lower poverty rate than Stanton, Kentucky, places like Iraq and places like that that you wouldn't think of, or actually it may have been Iran that he used. But anyway, he threw that out there again, very, very sobering statements. He says he wants to push hard. He wants to push forward, and he really wants to eradicate drugs. He wants to see a lot of movement forward in the reduction of poverty rate, eradicating drugs. And he also spoke to a very strong police force and, of course, seconded the election of Mr. Frazier tonight. And, again, was very, very passionate in his speech this evening. And then we heard from Gerald Rogers, who has served before and has taken some time off, has come back and wants to be a part again. And his real theme was unity, working together, working as a group, and he really spoke to that. And again, that's been kind of a summary of tonight's events. This is the 2014 Democrat fundraising dinner. They have had a chili cook-off and had a lot of participants. Probably about 100 folks in attendance down here at the Ambetz building in Clay City. And again, you'll be listening to this post this event. This will be airing Tuesday right after Tradio on your radio. And we appreciate you tuning in and, of course, becoming an educated voter. If you do miss a portion of this broadcast, don't forget you can go to our website, WSKVFM.com, and click on Informed Voter, and you'll be able to hear this and download this forum in its entirety. That way you can make a wise decision when it comes down to it. There's been some discussion tonight about voting straight Democrat. I'm going to publicly say I believe that you need to vote for the person for the job. Democrats and Republicans aren't as far apart as they used to be. A lot of them share a lot of similar goals, and a lot of folks really, especially on this local level, I think a lot more positions should be bipartisan. That's me kind of investing a little bit here today. But again, take into account everybody and make sure that you're voting for the right people to get into the positions that are going to affect us so much right here in our local county. Again, appreciate the Democrats for bringing us in and letting WSKB be a part of this event to bring you this live coverage. And, of course, as always, this is WSKB 104.9 FM. My name's Ethan from the AmVets building in Clay City with the 2014 Democrat Fundraiser Forum being held down here this evening on October 10th.